I ams of Jesus Christ, his statements and sayings. But specifically, I'm going to concentrate on just one, the sixth one. And you know, Jesus' seven I ams really speaks to us today, the current events in the Christian world and as well as the world at large, you know. Jesus is still speaking his word to us because he is God in the presence, yeah? He is in the present tense. You know, so, and that he is the great I am. I'll be pondering the book of John mostly because this is where the I ams are written and said. So, but before going to that, I'm going to show you the great I ams, the seven ones first, yeah? Let's look at this. Seven great I am. I'm going to be speaking specifically the sixth one. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Just that's John 14:16. 14:6, yeah. Let's pray first, yeah. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, with open hearts and mind. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the seven great I ams of you. Father, help us to understand and believe that there is only one way to your kingdom, Father. And help us to know the truth in your word, Father God, that as we receive your word today, Father, may it not just be information, but transformation in your likeness. Help me, Lord, and bless me as I share this message. You are the only way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes through the Father except through you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, amen, amen, amen and amen. Ooh, such a nice day, yeah? Now, take your notes. And back. That's my sermon title today. Who is Jesus? He says he is. Who is our Lord? Who is God? Yeah, you know, what is God like? Goes the question, yeah? You know one good answer? Let's look at Jesus. He is God, you know, and he is God in himself, himself manifest in flesh. Jesus is the image of the invisible, right? The firstborn over all creation. On seven occasions, as I showed you, there was the seven I ams, and it's really showed how great a deal he is, his divine character. It's all said there. And the sixth I am, I'm going to be sharing again to you, the I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yeah? And you know what happened? There was a scenario in the upper room during the Passover last supper, you know, Jesus was telling his disciples, guys, actually it started in John 13:33. Was telling them that I'm going to be here only a short time. I'm going to go and leave you, and I'll go to my Father's house. And, you know, it's really kind of like, for them, probably they were confused, scared, that for 3 years in the ministry, you know, they've been together, you know. Jesus was trying to teach them, and the disciples were putting their trust and hope in him. Yeah, to be the promised deliverer and Messiah. Yet, they still don't understand how he was going to accomplish the deliverance. But anyways, what he said was, oh, I'm going to be going to my Father's house. That's where his death came, crucifixion, and then finally ascended back to heaven. You can imagine, really, it's really very, you know, the disciples said, what am I going to do? Christ is going away, you know. But you know what? He comforted him. And this is what he says in John 14:1-6. Let's read it together. This is what he told them. Let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. Oh, how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Whew. Such a bold statement, yeah? Bold statement. There are no multiple ways to go to the Father. There is only one way. We just sung, one way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Is that an amen? You are the way, the truth, and the life. How do we know our Lord Jesus is? How do we know? The sixth I am going to try this. Sixth I am going to take this apart piece by piece, and we're going to start with I am the way. It's in your note. He sets our path. I am the way. Yeah? And what does Jesus mean when I am the way? Way to what? Way to where? We know that the only way to his Father now is through him, yeah? And he was declaring he was not one of the many ways, but one and only way. Is that an amen? No shortcuts. No sidelines. It's not an overnight thing to walk with God. It's a daily process. Amen? It's an ongoing journey with us. Now, let's take a look at some verses. Let's start with King Solomon. The first one is in your verses. There is a way that seems right to a man, but only ends in death. That's Proverbs 14:12. Here he was talking specifically physical death, you know. Here is a man doing his things in his own way, not God's way, and he end up in physical death, not eternal. Right? Okay, and look at what his father, King David, says here. We sang this song earlier. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's Psalms 119:105. What a beautiful verse and a beautiful song that we just sung. There is really no other way to our Father God but through Jesus. And there should be no small gods, no? Not the big G, small gods to follow, you know. It means that anything outside of Christ himself, anything outside of the great I am, anything outside of the person of Jesus is either not on the way. Got it? It's either leading in the wrong way or it's not truth. It's false. It's deception. And at the end, it's not life and it's death. Yeah? We cannot serve other gods. Take a look at your verse here, the next one. This is the first of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5:7. And if you follow along the Ten Commandments, it's go all the way to Deuteronomy 5:21. The first one says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Whew. Clearly, yeah, clearly stated. The first commandment. Oh my goodness. How about Luke? Let's take a look at Luke. What he says about not having two masters. Luke 6:13 says here, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he hate the one and love the other, or else he will despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon here is a Hebrew word for money. Actually, these other gods may be in the form of money, your work, your possessions, maybe your in authority, yeah, your power. And for some people, it's really greed. They want much, much, much more mola money. Yeah, so bad, yeah. Serving to God, two gods or more, doesn't lead us to salvation. This is what Paul says in Acts 4:12. Let's read it together. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So please don't put your trust and hope no other than our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? That is a powerful verse there by teaching by Paul. And well, let's see again what King David said it again here. "Among the gods there is none like you." Psalms 86:8. First Chronicle in your notes there, 17:20, it says, "O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you." Yeah? And finally, Isaiah 46:9 in your notes, "For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me." We sang that song too. I kind of like incorporate all the songs and the hymns, you know, to the message, and it's beautiful to do that. Guys, Jesus is the only way. Amen? He's the only way. The way is a path or a road to be followed. You know, a way is not a set of beliefs of a religion. It is this supernatural relationship when you confess your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. Whew. Let's take a look at Paul again. Paul has so much teachings that we can follow. He said here in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Whew, hallelujah. Yeah, we follow him when we confess that he is Lord. And as his followers, we can be comforted knowing he will never lead us astray. Amen? He will never lead us astray. And Paul followed it in verse 13 here, Romans 10:13. "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whew, powerful. That way again, once you accepted Christ in your heart, is that path of dying to an old way of being and being born again into a new way of being. This way is the only way to God. Amen. One of my brothers likes this verse so much, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Yeah? You are a new creation, right? You let go of your past and your old way. Jesus is the only way, and the way of dying to an old way of being and being born into a new way of being is actually known in other religions throughout the world. The way of Jesus is universal, my brothers and sisters. Even to millions who have never heard of Jesus. The way of Jesus is the only way of death and resurrection. That was part of the scripture we put in there. The path of transition and transformation from an old being to a new way of being. So if you want to find the way, please seek him daily and you will find the truth. Amen? And that will lead us to our number two bullet. He checks our purity. "I am the truth," John 14:6 again. On this verse, actually, there's a scenario here in the books of Acts. Let me show you, yeah? In the books of Acts, Paul, I think the apostles, they were all willing to give to the church, sell their positions and land, whatever they have. But on this scenario, we found that Ananias and Sapphira were lying to the Holy Spirit. And this is what happened. Let me read it to you. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought to a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and kept back part of the piece of price of the land for yourself? She said, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Then your verse there, put in there, why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to man, but God. This is kind of like this is an issue of the heart, you know. You know what? This is one of our struggles in life. It happens to us. It happens to me sometimes. We have to give our heart to Jesus. Let us embrace the truth in Jesus, you know. Let him be the center of our life. You know, we cannot hide from God. We cannot. He knows our heart inside out, right? He owns everything, remember? Heaven and earth. He knows us intimately. He knows the numbers of my hair, even if I dye my hair. He still knows it. Yeah? He is in control of our life. He is the truth. We cannot and must not lie with the Holy Spirit. Watch out. Be careful. Do not lie. And, Proverbs 14:12 happened to Ananias and Sapphira. There was a way that seems right to man, but only ends in death. And you know what happened? They both maki, they died. Yep, God took them away. They both died, and then you know what? There was a great fear in the whole church. Oh my goodness, I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm going to be honest to goodness thing, you know. Let's look at what King Solomon says in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. You know, I really like the books of Solomon, you know. Proverbs, Solomon, and Ecclesiastes. You know, at the end, Solomon writes about the vanity of vanities. You know that in Ecclesiastes? Yeah, he wrote about most everything in this world we do in life is just chasing and grasping for the wind. You know? You read, Ecclesiastes, really good. The last chapter, 12:13, look at this. It said, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether you're good or evil. See that? You cannot hide. He's going to get you. If you lie to him, you lie to the Spirit, not to man. Amen? Jesus says, I am the truth. He is the truth, not a truth or having truth. And we work, and we all know that he was full of grace. Amen? John 1:14, you can read on that. Jesus is the truth means Jesus is truthful in everything. Yeah? He says. Jesus himself is the only truth. No blemish. You know that? No sin. He's perfect. Now, any ideas or concept or philosophies that go against Jesus' teachings or the Word of God, the Bible, where's my Bible? This one? Who? Better watch out. If you go against this, it's not going to be truth. Amen? We're talking about truth here. Yeah? I am the truth. Psalms 119, 140, this is in your notes. David says, your law is the truth. Yeah? Many people seem to be searching for truth, and they get to great lengths, you know, looking out, finding way. They go in the open. Oh, I'm going to find my soul out there. Maybe do some sabbatical and I'm going to see where God is, you know, maybe fasting or something. Or the non-believers, actually, they don't care. Yeah, they do on their own. They go out in the open, yeah. Jesus is the only truth they're looking for, believe you me. They're missing the mark if they look for truth other way. Only in him do we find truth. Amen? Only in him, yeah? And take a look at the book of John. Oh, I like this. It's in your notes again. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This is so powerful. Jesus was talking about himself in this statement. When we come to know him and believe in him, in his truth, we will find freedom. And by abiding in the word of God and being a follower and a disciple, Jesus sets us free. Amen? Jesus is free. We can prove that Jesus is the truth by just read the Bible. Apply his teachings in your life. That's what we need every day, yeah? Let's be smart about this. We think about, you know, it's a long journey for us to walk with him in spirit and truth. Amen? Okay, this guy, I like this way, British guy, C.S. Lewis. He's a British-Irish Christian apologist writer. And he made a very good statement and argument defending that Jesus is the truth. He said that Jesus can be one of three things. He either he's a liar, he's a lunatic, or he is the Lord. Oh, that's crazy, huh? To even think about that. It doesn't make sense for me. Me alone, that he's a liar. No, he's not. Everything about himself that he said would happen, it did. If you read the Bible, you know that he was betrayed and he did die and came back to life, right? That's a profound statement. He was able to tell things about other people that no one else knew. Jesus is not no liar. Yeah? Then he is a lunatic? Oh my goodness. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. Is he some crazy person? I don't think so. Crazy people don't sound as reasonable as Jesus. You know that? They don't sound. The stories of Jesus told us and the actions he lived by are not things that crazy people do. Right? They don't do that. Yeah? So that leaves us one good option, right? Jesus is who he says he is. Yep. Jesus who he is. Who is Jesus? He says he is. He is the I am. The great I am, yeah? Praise God, praise God. So the prophet John puts it this way. And you, I think it's in your notes too, yeah? Yeah, 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know who is true God. And now we live in the fellowship with the true God because we live in the fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God and his eternal life. Amen? And that brings us to we're closing it now, to my third nugget. The third bullet blank is he determines our passion. For this is the last part of the sixth I am statement that Jesus says, I am the life. I am the life. Jesus isn't saying that he just give us a good life. You know, he's saying that life is only found on him. And the life that we found in Jesus is what? It will last forever. Yeah? Last forever. Amen. That's eternal life. And take a look at what Paul says here. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This is Paul's passion. And I hope each one of us would have the same passion to live for Christ, yeah? And you know what? I remember my mother's tomb, the epitaph written there was this verse. Philippians 1:21. That's the one that she told my sister to make sure that's what she wants on her epitaph. Amazing. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We should follow Paul, yeah? He's really, man. Dying for Jesus leads us to eternal life. Yeah, dying for Jesus leads us to eternal life. Our passion is also to live by the Spirit. It will convict us to do the right things and live life in line with the Word of God. Amen? And look at the verse here, Galatians 5, 16 to 17. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. Prevent you from doing the right things. Amen. I hope not. You guys follow. Be focused on the Word of God. Walk with God daily. And that's the only way we can do that. And this is the most celebrated, the next verse, celebrated book in the of John. And I know, I think you know this by heart. This is, I am the life. Look at this. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. I am the life. Eternal life. Whew, hallelujah. Almost done. Jesus says he is the life, meaning he's the resurrection, the life. That's one of the I ams. But do you remember when Lazarus was raised from the dead? John 11:43-44. That is very true. It happened. It's in the book of the Bible. You have to read it. He was raised from the dead. Jesus was the only way to life for Lazarus. And that's the truth, because there is no other way again through Jesus to receive eternal life. John says, he gave the promise that because I live, you also will live. It's in your low note, yeah? The deliverance he was about to provide was true deliverance from a life of bondage to sin and death to a life of freedom and eternity. Amen? Jesus had told his disciples about his death. Now he is claiming to be the source of life. He revealed his authority and was granted by God the Father. In these words, Jesus was declaring himself the great I am, the only path to heaven. Amen? The only true measure of righteousness and the source of physical and spiritual life. Oh, God. He was taking his claims to the very God of creation and the Holy One who inhabits eternity. He did this so that the disciples would be able to face the dark days ahead, you know, and carry on the mission of declaring the gospel to the world. And once they understood that, you know, they became changed people, and the world was never the same. Churches were opening up. Peter, all the disciples, you know, they were out there to proclaim the gospel throughout the world. So how do we follow him today? Bro, everyone, my brothers, it should be the same way the disciples did long ago, right? That's why Open Door is here and a lot of thousands of millions, whatever, churches around trying to proclaim the gospel. They hear his words, the disciples, and obey them, follow his example, and command others the truth about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. When we follow him in the way, we can be rest assured. Following all the way to heaven. Amen? Yeah. So in closing, we learn from this I am statement that Jesus actually is everything we need. He is the way, he is the only truth, and he is eternal life. When life is scary, you guys, when you're confused, when you're lonely, when you've got problems, we all got problems, right? Just remember, Jesus is there for you. This I am statement brings us comfort. Jesus is the way, the only truth, and the life. He is the certainty, brother, and the comfort when we need this in an uncertain world that we have right now. Hallelujah. One way to Jesus. Yep. Jesus is he who he says he is. The I am, the great I am. Praise God. Praise God. Woo, praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God.
Thank you, brother, for that message. And I know the Holy Spirit spoke it through him, and we needed to hear it. And you know that scripture that you just talked about in John 8:32? Let's read it together. It's in your notes on the second page. It says here, and you shall what? Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I want you to circle know, and I want you to circle free. The very fact is, you know, a lot of times people can say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church and all this, right? But you know, a lot of times we hear that, but you look at the person's life. And it's not about judging that person, because the very fact is, if you know that you're living a life that is totally putting God first, that you are devoted to Christ, yeah, you've been set free from all the things of the world. You know, you're not held bondage to the things that can bring you down, the things that can bring forth death in your life. Because when you're in Jesus Christ, you have life. And you know that God only brings more and more life into your life as you live a life that is true to him. And that's why it's so important. We got to realize, we got to come together and be united in the Spirit of Christ. Amen? And that's why I want you to turn to the very back of your program. I want you to take your pen. I want you to circle triple F. I want to really put focus on that because, like I said, triple F means family, fun, and fellowship. And, you know, me and Brother Adolf, I know his heart is about missions because he himself was a missionary for many years. And that's why he said, you know, the one thing that I really see that your church needs is fellowship. Yes, that's important, but we need to be also be missions and discipleship oriented. And that's why we're going to start this on March 13, and we're going to start off with, you know, what is called a King's Feast. We're going to have food, yeah, because food always brings us together, and come on, we love food. I love food, and you love food, right? But we're going to fellowship together. That's what the key point is. So please mark it off on your calendar, March 13, which is on a Wednesday. Please come, all right? And then after that, we're going to meet every Wednesday from 6 o'clock on, okay? And it's a time, yes, we're going to really enjoy each other's fellowship. There's going to be time of prayer. There's going to be time of getting in the Word. And there's going to be time of just allowing the Spirit just to fill us. So please come, all right? And this is one thing I really ask of you. As a church family, please come because I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But we realize we got to know that we need each other, amen? Because we are in the family of Jesus Christ. And we know the Holy Spirit's presence will come upon us as we choose to come and just allow the Holy Spirit to fill us up. Because we're going to hear from each other, we're going to pray for each other, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to just empower us. And guess what? All the works of the devil are crushed because we are united as one body in the Spirit of Christ. Can I hear a loud shout of amen to that? So please come. I want you to get excited. I don't know. I got to tell you, get excited about it. And you know, the first night, please just invite, you know, your family and friends who really want to know more about Jesus Christ. That is the heart of the message. And just wanting to just come together and be united in the Spirit of Christ. Why don't we go ahead and let's bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message that was spoken through my brother Omar. And I thank you, Lord, knowing as he spoke forth your word, we are filled with the very life of Jesus Christ. But right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I just heard the word of God. I really thought that my heart belonged to Jesus. But, you know, for some of us, we may be saying, you know what, I look at my life, though. I don't see that those very times that I knew I was suffering, that I was going through hardship. Yet I did not turn my whole heart, my whole mind to Jesus Christ. Knowing that he says, I am the truth. I'm the way, the life. And he says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You know, we are free from all the works of the devil. That the devil, he can do whatever he can. But as we set our minds, our hearts upon Jesus, we're going to experience freedom. We're going to experience power from the Lord. And if this is you, you say, you know, Pastor Ben, I realize that maybe I haven't been experiencing great power from the Lord. Because there are times I complain. There are times that I turn away from the Lord. Especially when things get really hairy in my life, when things get really tough. There are times I don't look to Jesus. And if we were all honest, I know, even for myself, I would raise my hand and say, yeah, that's me. But we know as we say, Lord, I want my life to be fully devoted to you. I want to live my life for Jesus Christ. And if this is your heart's cry, you're saying, Lord, that kind of described me sometimes, but I want to devote my life fully to your son, Jesus Christ. If this is the heart cry that you know is from deep within you, can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Hallelujah. Anyone else saying, that is me, Lord. Help me, Jesus, because I'm desperate for you. Anyone else saying, yes, Lord, that is me. That is me. All right, let's put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, will you just let your sweet, loving presence just fill this entire room right now? Oh, Lord, more. As your angels, I know, they're here ministering your love, oh, in such a deep way, your peace. Yes, Lord, more. More of your joy in our lives. Knowing no matter what goes on in our lives, Lord, our minds, our hearts are fully focused on you. Father, let us be strengthened by your very hand. Let us know that we are never alone. But as long as we have you, we have nothing to fear, nothing to be anxious about. Because our life truly belongs to you. Father, we thank you for what you started in our lives and what you will continue to do. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all of these things. And all my brothers and sisters say,
amen. Let's all stand. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.